All right. Good morning, folks. Welcome back. Happy Friday. And yeah, once again, it has been quite a week. Time to take a look back and see if we can make sense out of what the, you know, what is going on. Anyway, got David Justice online as, normally is the case. And, we got lots to talk about, David. Certainly there is more information, or at least more smoke coming out about the Charlie Kirk assassination. Not much clarity, however. And, a whole lot of other things as well. So let me say good morning. And where would you like to pick it up?
Well, let's start with the only thing that's actually certain about what we're experiencing is the uncertainty.
Okay.
It's we've got a lot of disinformation. We've got a lot of confusion and propaganda. Lest we forget, we're in an information war. We're in a war for our minds. We're dealing with deep hypnosis and psychotic breaks. We're dealing with theater. We're dealing with manipulation, gaslighting, fake news, fake evidence. You know, that's what's actually going on. And it could be really frustrating if we're not aware of that. So it's really critical to realize they're after our minds. They're after our thoughts. And, you know, scripture even tells us this has been a battle, you know, from time immemorial, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. For the tearing down of strongholds and taking into captivity vain imagination. And that's what's being fed. So let's walk carefully through this morass of malinformation and disinformation and just keep our eye on the ball and our eye on the prize, Mark.
Okay, well, you know, along those lines, I guess I had been thinking before the show, and if there is a theme that I would suggest really applies to this week, sadly, it's probably called disappointment. And in particular, I'm looking at Kash Patel. Now, I'll admit, I like Kash Patel. I think he's an amiable, good-hearted man. I think he is intelligent, and I think he is trying, and I think he's way the hell in over his head and out of his league and way, way beyond his depth. And he just basically cannot handle running a criminal organization that is running circles around him, feeding him crap, and telling him that, it's raining that's coming down on his head. I literally don't think he is in control of anything there. And that is sad. And I wish I could say more about Pam Bondi, too, but I saw the hate speech thing that she gave this week. Not long afterwards, she rolled it back after, Trump's base basically said, hey, come on, do you not know what you're pushing here? And, I just met people that are inciting riots and, literally explicitly going after individuals for named violence and stuff. Bottom line is, to be honest, David, when I hear somebody who is supposed to be on the right side use leftist buzzwords like hate speech or, here's another one, gun violence, as if they actually believe that such things have a legal basis in a once-free country, I lose respect for them. And that's kind of where I'm at. So my disappointment is... no, we still haven't seen any indictments. And if we do see any indictments, it'll probably be the wrong people. Admittedly, this kid is an accessory. He was there to cover up for what was really going on. But I haven't seen any evidence whatsoever that convinces me that the tranny lover is anything other than a pure patsy.
What we're witnessing is the collection of a narrative. And that's what Kash Patel has and Pam Bondi has. They're collecting evidence so that they can create a narrative. And the narrative, they hope that it's true, but there's so much distraction and manipulation going on. And no, I'm not buying anything that anybody is saying just yet. I may have spoke too soon last week. There's not enough evidence, but here's some things we do know. And this is what I wanted everybody to keep their eye focused on, okay? Who benefits and follow the money? We know that we're living in a time of economic collapse. And we know that there's a lot of players that have a lot of vested interest in keeping the war in Gaza going and Israel's seventh front war. And we know that there's a lot of interest in the Ukraine Russia conflict and all of these things, they all tie together at a certain level. And let's not forget that we're being played. I'm of the persuasion, and I'm not going to let go of it, that whatever was behind Charlie Death's murder was an attempt to force a civil war in this country, pitting left against the right, and to keep our eyes off the actual enemy that actually perpetuated that, I do not believe for 1 minute that he acted alone. There was a team, and it was a well-done, a well-polished hit, and the all of the information's not out yet. So let's keep our eye on the what's going on as far as their attempt to confuse and obfuscate and keep us divided against ourselves.
Well, let's toss out a couple of things. We've talked about some of this. There was actually not much additional news this week. Probably the most important thing I saw was a fellow named Sam Andrews, who I have great respect for as a long-range rifle shooter, tactical expert, former special forces, and a lot of connections with government and so forth, was on with Doug Hagman, and he had probably the most insightful comments that I have seen yet, debunking a lot of the BS and saying that literally we don't have squat for real information. Both of them as professional investigators. Hagman is a PI himself and has investigated countless murders and similar things, hits and the like. He was the primary investigator that went privately after Butler and basically said he's not believing the official story. Obviously, you're not going to hear that from the Waystream news media. But in any case, one of the things that Sam Andrews made very clear was, as did Doug, you have yet to see the medical examiner's report. And as a matter of fact, did they even do an autopsy? I don't even know if they did an autopsy. But one thing's for sure, you're not going to see the report. In terms of can you make any definitive assessments of where the shot, the fatal shot, was fired from or not? Answer, was there an entrance wound and an exit wound? Nobody has yet showed a picture of the back of Charlie Kirk's neck. Did the bullet enter from there? What I saw on the front side, and this is what Sam Andrews was saying, you can't tell if that's an entrance wound or an exit wound. If it was really a .30-06, and that's the claim, well, A, where's the bullet? We don't have that either. Did they do the autopsy? Is it in him? Did it bounce around? Did it hit a bulletproof vest, as some are claiming? Did it ricochet up, or did it hit the vest after it came through? From a different angle, and he says one thing is for sure, the angle that we're being told from the alleged lone gunman shooter does not comport with reality, but that may be very well the reason why we have not seen the medical examiner's report, and if I had to guess, I don't think we will. I don't think we saw an honest report, and it's been, 80 years, not 80 years, but it's been well over half a century for JFK.
60 years. And again, I don't know how much more I can add to that. We can be redundant. But Mark, go ahead.
Let me make another comment because I had some discussions online this week with people that just plain, they just seem intent on drinking the official Kool-Aid. We have got to buy the official narrative. Oh yeah. This guy who sprints across the roof in the opposite direction, clearly not carrying a rifle, clearly there's nothing stuffed in his pants, or he wouldn't be able to run like that. Then he jumps down, and you see him jump off the roof and take about an 8-foot drop, after which he bends his knees completely. There's no rifle in there, I guarantee you. And then, supposedly, the rifle materializes in his pants, and he reassembles it in the forest, and he supposedly is walking with a limp, according to some folks. What is that? The bottom line is, nothing about this makes any sense. I guarantee you one thing's for sure. If this guy had a rifle on the roof, he didn't have a rifle when he sprinted across the roof in the other direction. And as we've talked about before, the eye relief on the optics was completely wrong. Oh, well, he must have thrown the rifle off the roof, I heard some other moron say, and that dislodged the rifle when it hit the ground. Well, in that case, who was the accomplice that picked up the rifle? Because he didn't. He was running in the opposite direction and carried it around. And why is there no video? And I've made this challenge before, David. I have yet to see, and I've looked, a single frame, one solitary single frame, prone position or standing, of the alleged lone gunman tranny lover holding that rifle, Granddad's Mauser. And that rifle, and I'm going to be the first, I think, to make this suggestion. Remember the magic bullet during the Warren Commission report? The magic bullet explains everything. It went here. It went through Governor Connally. It went through Kennedy. It struck over here. It bounced back. It went back through again, made another pass. The magic bullet explains everything. And forget the man on the grassy knoll. Forget the other shooters. Forget the other. The magic bullet was official policy narrative, still is probably, for all of these 60 years, but it took over half a century before the American people realized it was total bullshit. I'm going to be as kind as I can. It was BS to the max. And now most people know it. However, remember what happened. people that were on that commission. Orrin, what was his name? Sphincter.
Warren.
Sphincter from, Warren himself, Supreme Court Justice later. Gerald Ford, he was there. He got to be president by appointment. And, of course, Senator from Pennsylvania, Sphincter. So many others that all profited heavily after signing up for what they knew was bogus BS. And here we are watching the same thing. I'm going to call this the Magic Mauser. The Magic Mauser disappears from the roof, reassembles itself, and appears in the shooter's pants later. Then it appears in the magic blanket, or is it a towel? And then it disappears, and it shows up when it needs to be there, but it's disappeared whenever there's a video camera around. Isn't that amazing? But the Magic Mauser will go down in history right up there with the magic bullet, I think.
Well, we may have missed this, but the alleged weapon that they've taken a photo of and released is actually a Remington 700. It's not a Mauser at all. And the scope that's on it is not properly mounted.
We know that.
Be that as it may.
Okay, wait a second. I had not heard this about the Remington 700. And I'm not enough of a Mauser expert to identify a grainy photo. I saw another guy with another Mauser holding it up next to this one, claiming that his was a Mauser that was very similar in another video, and this was the guy showing how you could disassemble it. So where did you see the Remington 700 information?
Well, George Webb got an ongoing report. His investigation is turning up all kinds of amazing things, for example, like Tyler Robinson being involved in the ROTC program there in Utah. And he's concluding that this was definitely an operation from the highest levels of government, and they can lie and do whatever they want. And he's the one that is discovering some really, really pertinent weapons. Look for him on the Internet, George Webb, and you won't be disappointed. And I also want to give kudos to Candace Owens, and they made a real mistake when they shot Charlie, because they have awakened an entire generation of people who, when they get through the five stages of grief, are not going to let this go away. They've taken this very personally. And these people are extremely adept on the computer. This is the first time we're going to have millions of people digging for answers. And I don't think that the truth is going to get by this time. And I'm encouraged that the number of people are looking at this and demanding answers and asking the right questions. It's an exciting time, but it's a horrible time that Charlie, and by the way, there was a clip of him I came across this week that he specifically says, "When I die, don't mourn for me." And I agree that Charlie would not want us to be mourning for him, but he would want us to get to the bottom of who perpetrated this information sidestep of reality by using his assassination in an attempt to foment left against right and to fall America from within. I think that's the ultimate agenda. Who benefits is those that want America divided and conquered. Go ahead.
Well, and the other thing that is very clear, and I've mentioned, remember the analogy from the Roman era and the early Roman Empire that Caesar crossed the Rubicon, and I can't help but think that another appropriate one is the people of Israel under Joshua crossing the Jordan River. And the hill of foreskins that marked their entrance and so forth, and from that point on there was no looking back either. So I think in a lot of respects we've certainly crossed some river. Question is, which one is it? But one thing is for sure, and I'll add this, there has been this line that has been crossed to the point where the right has to now wake up and recognize they have long been willing to kill us. They have been trying to kill millions, and that would include people on both sides of the aisle with the Zyklon B injection. Arguably more leftists died from taking the Zyklon B because they were more gullible than people on the right. But certainly there is that attempt to continue mass genocide. But the other thing that's happened here is that the gloves are off, and they're demonstrating we're going to commit political assassinations, and we have seen any number of those, and we're going to see more. And I can't help but think, that die is cast now.
It's really critical, and I emphasize this a lot, and that's, we're broadcasting on Hebrew Nation. Know thyself and know thy enemy. The first rules of warfare. When we don't know who we are, And we don't know who the enemy is, we're not going to win this. So it's critical that we know who we are as Americans. What are we fighting for so that we know what we're fighting against? If we don't know who we are and the covenant that we have in this country, if we don't understand that, then we don't understand what we're fighting against. And the fighting against is a destruction of the Constitution and the principles of American jurisprudence and law and order, so that a tyrannical dictatorship can rise up from the ashes. That's the goal of the people that are anti-American, and the left is being used. You people are being used by this third party, invisible hand, the one that staged a false flag. Charlie Kirk assassination is a false flag. Yes, it happened. But it didn't happen. We don't know the reason why it happened yet, because the people that perpetrated it are obfuscating the true motive and the true agenda, and they're blaming it on a lone gunman. And it really it pains my heart to see so many of the mainstream media just buying into this narrative that he acted alone. No, he didn't act alone. And this is where Candace comes in. Bless her heart. She's going to get to the bottom of this, and it's a fascinating thing to watch a woman who is one of Charlie's real dear friends, and Tucker Carlson as well. Okay, Tucker's not buying it either, and so many others are. Blumenthal's not buying it either. There's a dozen people out there that aren't buying it that are very dangerous with their broadcast.
Steve Bannon is another one. And let me add one other thing, maybe a couple of other things. The idea that there are people out there looking into this, and I have no doubt that there are some very good people, including a lot of people on the web that are analyzing videos and coming up with information. We've seen a number of things like this already. We'll see more. After the Las Vegas false flag, I remember people doing audio analysis. The health ranger, Mike Adams, was one of them, doing audio analysis of the bullet fire, and basically saying, hey, look, it was in fact full auto, it wasn't a bump stock, and B, there were multiple sources, and we've seen videos and stuff. So we all know that Las Vegas was a great big lie, among many, many others. One that I did see, and I know we talked about this last week because I mentioned it, but I've seen a little bit more information at this point. There was a private jet that took off from Provo, Utah, less than 10 minutes or so, probably carrying the team that performed the real assassination. Some of us, the conspiracy theorist tinfoil hat wearers, as we're routinely called, would believe, took off, flew about 25 minutes or so south. Within a half an hour, it had turned off its ADS-B and transponder and landed evidently at Page, Utah, discharged its team, and then returned to Provo within an hour. So that one hasn't gotten any press at all, and I think there's an obvious reason why. There are so many things we're not going to see. Let me add one other one, and this is the one that you almost touched on it. I thought you were going to go there, but you didn't. That is the Patsy, and I don't care what the guy's name is, because, again, I think he's just a distraction. Kind of like the fellow named Zinn, who was also a distraction. Shoot me, shoot me. I'm the leftist, and I'm here to make sure that the real one gets away. Why, if they're going to have one, don't they have two in the crowd? Especially if the guy, doesn't even have a rifle on the roof. But essentially, the question is, why is the Patsy still alive? And I'm not joking on that score. I'm not asking for him to be killed. I'm just noting that from Lee Harvey Oswald, and I guess you could go all the way back to John Wilkes Booth, but certainly from Lee Harvey Oswald to a whole lot of others that have been patsies or alleged lone gunmen, they don't make it to trial. Because the American people aren't allowed to hear the evidence that might come out at an honest trial, and I think that is probably, again, going to be the case. If I was a defense attorney, the first thing I'd ask is, where the hell is the ME report?
Well, I'd like to know where the bullet is, and like you said, whether there's an entrance wound or exit, one of those is missing. There's only one hole in Charlie Kirk that we know about so far.
And a high-powered rifle shot has to go either all the way through, which it probably almost certainly did. It would sever the spine. So it certainly went through. I doubt it bounced back through the same hole. So where is it? The crime scene we know was contaminated, evidently by some of Charlie Kirk's own so-called security people. Sam Andrews basically tore them a new one and said, these people are incompetent, and Erica ought to sue the hell out of the people that were providing him for security. We'll see if that happens. But the crime scene was contaminated. Again, if the alleged lone gunman threw the rifle off the roof, there were 2,000-plus kids in the area. What happened to it? There are just so many unanswered questions, and the narrative falls apart with any of them. Go ahead.
The more news. Erica Kirk has accepted the position of CEO. I was concerned about that. You know, whoever assumes the role has to maintain the vision, and there's several people vying for that position of Charlie. So that she was named as the CEO of that organization.
Yep, good.
I don't think she trusts. Again, she knows, you know what? She knows what Charlie was sharing with her up until the moment of his death. So she knows some things that Charlie would, disclose to her. Like, she knew about the $150 million that was offered to Charlie with a paid trip to Israel. And he turned all that down. There is an element of this story that suggests that Charlie is now being leveraged by Netanyahu. Again, let's let all the evidence, let the dust settle, but there is, and then Netanyahu, of course, comes out and broadcasts that he's beside himself that Israel would be suggested as being involved in the assassination, but there is evidence suggesting that is possible. So let's not discount any evidence, and let's not discount any theories just yet.
Okay, I'm with you on that score, and I certainly think that's the key. Don't ignore evidence, and we've seen a lot of evidence that basically. Honestly, it doesn't look like evidence to me because it doesn't pass the smell test. Oh, you know, we didn't mention this. I guess we got to throw it out just by way of completion. The so-called text message exchange between the wonderful gay lovers that was called so touching and so I guess sexually arousing to some of the left that was covering it. I have not seen anybody that I respect, and I read it myself, and I'm going, this is how these 20-year-old kids text to each other? No emojis, complete sentences, no acronyms. I think it looks like the 60-year-old FBI agent in charge that wrote the bogus text messages had to make sure that the average American could read it and make sure that they got the point that the FBI wanted them to make.
Well, I'm not sure it's the FBI. I think that maybe Cash Patel himself is being played.
I think he's being played. I agree.
Okay, so there's so many people being played, and whatever is going on here, I'm persuaded that it's a deep state operation with the design to foment a civil war in America so that they can implement a new monetary system, a new private monetary system, other than the Federal Reserve, or maybe they're going to perpetuate the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, did you know that the word federal means covenant? Did you know that?
Well, of course I do. I interview a guy who's been talking about federal and the fact that it really literally means to by agreement. You signed up for this. That's why you've given away your rights. So that's another whole long story. We're going to run out of time. We'll talk about the FOMC after the break, but we've got about maybe not even a minute. Let's get you started on this. There was news on the front of Tina Peters in Colorado. You probably have more information than anybody else we know on that score.
Well, we were led to believe by the court that all the court wanted, which is a magistrate in this context, the question of jurisdiction was being challenged by the defendants. Who were the ones holding Tina in jail? The habeas corpus was filed to get her out of jail pending appeal. So in the habeas corpus, all of the motions were filed. We're sitting here waiting for a ruling, and then all of a sudden the magistrate decides, well, we need more information about, we want you guys to brief out your argument for the First Amendment violation. So I'm going to give you another 14 days to get something in front of me, and then after that we're going to have another 14 days to respond, for the defense to respond.
All right. Well, we'll, if there's any more, we'll pick it up there when we get back. But stay with us, folks. Lots to talk about today. It's a Friday morning. This is the Drive Time Friday Show. Got David Justice online with me. I'm your host here in Colorado, along with David, Mark Call. And we're talking about a number of things. One of them, of course, that we pretty well, I think, have addressed up to date. And the first segment was Charlie Kirk. At the end of the first segment, the issue of Tina Peters came up. And, of course, Tina is yet another person who had a target on her back. Why? Because she knew the truth, and she was trying to do the right thing. And she was an elected official in Mesa County. Essentially pointing out that the election in 2020 was rigged. We all knew it, and they haven't killed her yet. She's a grandmother, and basically just had her birthday, I guess. And they haven't given up yet, but they are trying to do everything they can to bury her and make sure that the American people never find out what she knows. Go ahead, David.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, the most interesting thing about Tina is that she, as a custodian of the voting machine in Mesa County, had an obligation under the contract with Dominion, which was entered into with the county commissioners. She was the custodian who, was responsible for anyone accessing the machine, for any updated. Everything about the machine, it was her machine to maintain. The Secretary of State interposed inside the contract and disrupted that, and as a result was the one that caused the state attorney general, who is now running for governor, to bring action through the district attorney and charge Tina with they didn't like the way that she gathered the information that completely incriminated.
Well, that's the claim.
Voting machines.
I'm going to say, David, the real issue was they didn't like the fact that she had gathered the information, and they used anything else that they could as an excuse for making sure that she wasn't allowed to share the information.
And there's the irony of this. She found conclusive evidence. She had three experts put together forensic analysis of the machines, proof positive, and rather than the Attorney General and the Secretary of State and the national authorities from investigating the machine, they took that evidence and ignored it and prosecuted Tina instead. Okay, folks, let's get your mind around this. She found the smoking gun of election tampering. She found how the computers did it. She knew that they were going to do an upgrade that would cause all this information to be erased.
So let me ask this question, David, real briefly. So what happened to the information that she had? Did they end up destroying it? I have a strong suspicion they did, but I don't know the answer to that question.
No, she, like I said, the experts who examined it put together three publications and published it online. So the information, the government never did get a hold of it, and she's in jail because of it, but they've never, ever. No authority anywhere has ever discussed the information that she found on that computer. They threw away the key for 9 years. They said, no, you're going to go to jail, and we're not looking at your evidence. Nothing that she did was outside the scope. Okay, the reason that she chose to obtain the information the way she did is she didn't trust the attorney general. She didn't trust the county commissioner. She didn't trust the secretary of state. So she created she had a guy go into the room where the computer was that, according to the Secretary of State, was not authorized, and she used deception to get that in there. But she had the authority under the contract to do just that because she was the custodian of the machines. So that's the backstory. This woman has been convicted of the way she went about getting the information, and the information itself has never been brought to any authority that they could bring charges against Dominion.
Okay, that part we know, and that's without question, I would suggest, exactly what they're trying to avoid. And, you know, if you think about it, there's probably a lot of overlap there in terms of motivation for things we can understand about what's going on with respect to Charlie Kirk. There are certainly things that they don't want to come out, and I think that's part of the reason why I asked the question, do I really believe that they will let this kid live till a trial? Because if there are things that come out in a trial that Big Brother or those that have covered this up for so long don't want to come out, it won't.
You know, let's just be real blunt here, because blunt is really important. The state of Colorado was overthrown by an election machine that put Democrats in power.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line. And the attempt to, and 2020 was a rigged election. The people on January 6th, that was a rigged, quote, insurrection. The January 6th committee, like the Warren Commission, was a committee that basically destroyed the evidence. They collected all of the evidence that could have exonerated all of those people. All of the exculpatory evidence could have exonerated what actually happened on January 6th. But no, see, so what we've got here, and yes, this ties into Charlie Kirk, is we've got a major conspiracy with so many moving parts and so many players that Charlie Kirk's assassination, someone benefited from it. And so let's look at what he was doing. He was educating people. He was educating young people. He had the fastest growing and largest political organization on the planet. And since Charlie's assassination, 60,000 plus people, young people, students, have signed up to start chapters or become involved in chapters. There's a movement of young people. Who benefits from attempting to stop that? Well, the very deep state that Trump purportedly is fighting, the very people that have a lot to lose should their monetary system fall, should their power structure on the planet fall. And that power structure, we've been fighting it for decades, but it's very vulnerable right now, and more people coming. It's intriguing to me that, you know, people like Tucker and Charlie and Candace are they're outraged that they've been called anti-Semite because of their investigation, and they're outraged that their character would be maligned. Well, you know what? Join the club. Because those of us that have been looking at this thing for decades, that's exactly what they said about us back in the day. And now you're upset because they're saying it about you. We're no different than you. We just came out a little earlier than what you did. So it's a false allegation. It's not true. We're only after the small percentage of people at the top that are orchestrating this charade all over the planet. And it is a, like I said, follow the money to the highest sources and follow those that control a nation's currency they control. And so this is about maintaining control of the narrative. That's what this is about. So somehow we know that they assassinated whoever they are, assassinated Charlie to maintain control of their narrative. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, I guess I'll ask this question. Anything else on your radar that we also want to make sure we talk about today?
Oh, there's other things, but go ahead.
Well, let me throw out just one of many. It took a while, but we finally saw this week that the president, having written some executive orders on day one, has now officially declared one of the nation's foremost Soros-funded Toro terror groups to be exactly what it is. And not just a terror group, but a major terror group. We're talking about Antifa. That came out earlier this week.
Antifa is a terrorist group, and And it is being, it is a puppet of these same players on top. Now, all of the nations of the earth are manipulated by the people on the top. It's a small percentage of people on this planet, folks. When we figure out who the they are, we're all going to be shocked and astonished at how much power they have. These people are the real trillionaires on the planet. Elon Musk is not the richest man on the planet. He's just the one that we know about. There is a committee. And I don't know how it works, but they like to operate through secret societies and all that. They've been at this for years. They've perfected, whether it be the Jesuits of the Vatican or the Illuminati or the State of Israel, whatever. They're in control of the mechanisms to keep us all off balance, to keep us all confused and arguing with each other so that we don't see them. May this be the time, and may the death of Charlie Kirk not be in vain, that they would actually be discovered for what they did and who they are. That's what I've occupied my mind with this past week, is prayer that the truth would come out.
All right, Mark. Well, I guess the bottom line is we'll see whether the truth comes out or not. And if I started off the show with a suggestion of irritation and disappointment was the term I used, that is the reason. It's because we're definitely seeing a whole lot of indications that they're going to do everything they possibly can to make sure the truth doesn't come out, and we all know it.
Well, as I've said before, they have everything to lose and nothing to gain by sustaining the narrative. And the fact that the mask is coming off, we're beginning to see behind the veil. And that's the last place they want us to look. And I believe that this was why Charlie Kirk was assassinated, because they were afraid of his organization, because they knew that if Charlie Kirk completely turned and started looking down the road that you and I, Mark, started looking at reality the way that Candace has been looking for the past couple of years, Charlie was beginning to turn that way. And I do believe that $150 million donation that he turned down was very significant in this. I want to plug somebody else that come on my radar this week. Was Nick Fuentes. Write that name down and go check out his website. He's all over this. Young guy, very zealous, very passionate. He wants to know the truth. So there's some amazing truth seekers that have citizen journalists that are on this, and they have restored my confidence in the possibility that these guys are going to be discovered. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, and I guess if it comes to confidence that things are going to be discovered, I would go to the prophecy out of Scripture where it says that those things hidden are going to be revealed. The only question has always been, when exactly is that going to happen? And we may be getting closer by the day. But on the other hand, we now know this. It's not going to happen without a fight, because there are a whole lot of people that they want to kill Charlie Kirk. They want to keep Tina Peters in jail. In short, they don't want anything to come out that threatens their power base.
Their power base is money. Their power base is
delusion. Well, it's not really money. Let's be clear again. It's currency. It's fake money.
It's currency.
Yeah, it's not real money.
They're attempting to buy the planet with script, and they're going to move into digital currency, and so that there's no script. But what we're witnessing is the evolution of a monetary system that began in ancient Babylon. And this monetary system has been evolving civilization through civilization, rises and collapses. And now with the digital currency, they're going to come into complete fruition. And this is the evolution of their monetary system. And that's what's being protected. So anything that comes close to threatening that has to be eliminated. And the modern day church is also being weaponized against the people, because it's been infiltrated and it's preaching a prosperity gospel that is completely inconsistent with the totality of Scripture. And what the point of the Scripture is to educate us into who we are and how we arrive at the ultimate destiny, which is coming into the fullness of who we are and establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth. So America is a very critical element in in the evolution of that ideology. And that's what they're trying to destroy. That's the juxtaposition to their monetary system. Remember, you gotta choose to serve one. You can't, you gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, it may be money, it may be the Father. You're gonna have to choose. That's what's at stake, and that's what the ultimate battle is, Mark.
Okay, very much in agreement. We'll continue to push on that one. I certainly am not going to give up on the whore church. I think it is vital to remember at this point. And I spent the Come Out and Hear My People show yesterday talking about this aspect of it. Charlie Kirk's ministry was interesting to me, fascinating, because I believe he was sent especially to minister to and to bring out of a level of bondage that they didn't even understand a whole lot of young people, college kids, and to ultimately undermine and destroy a system that had one purpose, and that was to take those young skulls full of mush, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, and turn them into demonic entities. And certainly a lot of them are beyond redemption, but he did have a big effect on a lot of them. Now, my concern is, and this has been kind of my take, obviously, and Heber Nation in general, I think, has a more narrow focus, and that is, it's the come out of her attitude. It's that once you realize that even those that were raised in the evangelical church have been deceived. Paul wrote about another Jesus whom we've not preached and warned. He said, I'm afraid you'll put up with it. And the answer is, they did. 17 centuries. The whore church has been deceiving people. It's not just a modern intervention. It took a long time to come to the level of fruition. But we saw the state church. We saw various kinds of indulgences and all kinds of things. Martin Luther made a minor. It was considered major at the time, but he didn't actually pull a 180, he just turned the whore church a little bit towards the correct path, but certainly not back in the actual direction of the real, true one creator and author of Scripture. So, again, my question is, this is the thing I encourage people to talk about. You talk about knowing who we are and who we serve and bringing about a movement towards the kingdom on earth. And my concern is we have to recognize that we have been fed a fake gospel, another Jesus whom we've preached, another gospel that you have not received, is what 2 Corinthians 11:4 says. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Paul says in another place, hey, I don't want you to be worshiping idolatry. And that's exactly what the whore church has become. And not only that, we're going to see it worse because now they got AI. And if you don't think that's going to be an idol that likes of which most Americans have no conception of, just wait. They're going to have a money system based on the AI God. And we're within shouting distance of it. You can smell the sulfur from here, I will contend. Go ahead.
That's absolutely right. And here's something to really get your mind around, because this has been something that's bothered me for years, is how do you get to the youth of America and express to them everything that you've just said? Because they're not raised in that environment. A lot of them haven't been in church. And so now that Charlie's been taken out, I know a lot of people are turning back to the church. And
Go ahead. Then I want to make a comment on that specifically.
You didn't see me. I'm sorry, because this is not a video. I put church in air quotes.
Okay.
The so-called church, the institution that is called Christianity, is an imposter. It's a fake. Okay. It is the very thing that the Protestant is church. It's the mystery Babylon that the Protestants believe is still coming. Now, Charlie and his wife was raised Catholic, and I was raised Catholic, so I've got some standing here, I can tell you, because I came out of that church. Charlie's wife went back to, let me lay a better foundation. Charlie was turning away from Protestantism. Candace Owens has gone very deep into explaining that he and her had private conversations, as well as Tucker. He was turning away from Protestantism, but what he was doing was going back into the Catholic Church, which I thought was interesting.
I'm not sure if I believe that or not. Can you confirm that? Because I saw the indications that he was also becoming, at minimum, a Sabbath keeper, which seems to argue that he was going the other direction.
Yes. So all of that. Okay, so I'm reminded of the spiritual crisis that I went through in my 20s and 30s. I went through a drought where I was trying to figure out which one was the right church. And it, because of the questions I was asking, I discovered that it was an institutional doctrinal belief system. And I had to buy into the doctrine in order to be acceptable inside these different denominations. You know, I went through the process of baptism 5 times trying, because everybody told me I had done it wrong. And every time I went into it, well, you got to do it again because you did it wrong last time.
Okay.
So what I came to understand was their doctrine was more important. Form was more important than substance. And if we're into the form, and there's a scripture that says that in these days, these last days, that the church, and I put it in quotes, will have a form of godliness but deny its power. And that's what we're witnessing today. And let me tie this back into what Charlie. So Charlie was going through his spiritual crises, which is what happens when you start digging. And Charlie put himself into a position where I know from just the experience of my path, that he was really questioning himself, and he was determined to find the truth. And this I know about Charlie, is he wanted to know the truth.
Yep,
well,
I agree.
When you start going down that road, it becomes a very dangerous walk, because once the blinders come off that the institutional church has been infiltrated and commandeered and weaponized against the people, just like the deep state of people that were running the American government has been weaponized against the people. Once you realize that crisis, and now he's out in public, yeah, he was struggling. This man was struggling, and he was struggling with trying to understand the totality of the circumstances that we're living in on the planet today. And he had all these young people following him. So he felt the weight on his shoulders. And so that he turned down that $150 million donation, the
payday,
offer donation from the State of Israel, I'm of the persuasion, and I know that Candace is on this too, that he did not want to be a shill for Israel. Which is and thank God that he's not being a shield for Israel. He was questioning the wars. He was questioning Netanyahu and what Netanyahu was doing.
Okay, now wait a second. Let's pause quickly. You know, and I have not gone down this road because I don't think we'll ever be able to prove it, and B, there are so many other suspects. So I'm gonna say there are lots of people saying, oh, Mossad did it, Israel did it, maybe in combination with the CIA. I don't have any doubt that there were murky forces and globalists and Illuminati, you name it, that were doing this. But do you think it was quote-unquote Israel that had a hand in it too?
When you get to the top of this heap, what we're going to learn is that the intelligence agencies of this planet, CIA, Mossad, MI6, they all work together. They are the ones that are the instrumentality of the people at the top. They're the ones that set up the assassination of Kennedy. They work together. They work separate. They work, you know, whatever benefits the structure at the top. And so, did Mossad and the CIA have an interest? Yes. All of these things that are hidden are going to be revealed. It's a military-industrial complex hiding behind an intelligence agency, intelligence agencies, plural, that have one agenda, and that agenda is control over everything on this planet. And we know scripturally that that's the way evil is taking us. And so can I point specifically? No, not yet. But I can say that, you know, it's just a curiosity that Charlie Kirk, why would they pick him? And so you have to look at, okay, what was he influencing? How was he dangerous to create an opportunity for someone to shoot him? What was the actual objective? What was the agenda?
I think that part's obvious, right? Don't you?
Go ahead.
He was having outsized effect on one of the most influential groups in the future of this country, on young people. No doubt about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And they feared that, because they fear the young people, because that's where the passion and that's where the dedication and that's where the fearlessness comes from. When you're young, you want to know the truth. And so now what they've done, and I think this is going to backfire on them. They thought if they took out the shepherd that the sheep would scatter. I think that they were actually operating from that premise. But this what's happening is a backfire. I don't think they saw the backlash that we're watching happen. like I said, 60,000 people go out and join Turning Point now and wanting to become chapters. They want to know the truth. And so now we have all these truth warriors, and that's exactly what we needed. Now I'm going to get back into Christianity. They're going to want to know the truth about Christianity.
All right. Well, that's going to have to be it for today. And there's a lot to learn for sure. So I encourage people, study to show yourself approved. Hey, thanks, David. Shabbat shalom.